We're going to talk a little NBA. Lots happening, maybe not always in the best fashion. If you are indeed a Cleveland Cavaliers fan, the Cavs not looking too good. From 92.3, the fan in Cleveland, Ken Carman joins us, who, by the way, has one of the best headers on Twitter right now. Obviously, a huge fan of the Trailer Park Boys. Ken, how you doing?
Oh, I am a huge fan. A probably. One of the biggest fans in all of the state of Ohio, maybe even in the States, boys. It's great to be on with you guys.
Now, who's your favorite character? Is it Leahy?
I do think it is Leahy. I toss and I turn. Everybody loves Ricky and everybody loves Bubbles, but I do. I just love Leahy, and there's just a whole lot of quotes that I wish I could use on air with you, boys, but sadly I can't.
Do you have a favorite episode?
I would say, I think, the one where they rent out the trailers by the hour. Which I cannot say the rub, and I can't really say the rest on air. With the exception of getting dumped and left off, yeah, the one where they rent the trailers out by the hour.
Okay. Yeah, I think anybody who's watched the show knows exactly what you're talking about. Right now, hey, man, the Cavaliers might need to do something like that to pick up their team because they are struggling.
I'll take anything I get right now, and if it takes if it takes something like that, then fine. I'm perfectly fine with that because, you know, right now, and this is what we do in the NBA a lot, boys, that when you start losing, well, first, you have these names there. If you lose anything, there's going to be a lot of drama that surrounds you. When you lose like they've lost, and they've lost a ton, I think there's an immense amount of drama that surrounds them. So anything that happens with them, I think this is tenfold, and I think a lot of that is on LeBron. You know, LeBron is, his whole career has been filled with drama, whether it be created by himself or whether it not be created by himself or whether it be thrust upon him. But I think a lot of this is on him, is that, you know, we always wonder what he's going to do for his future and what he wants best. And, you know, he really is the de facto general manager and owner of this basketball team. And for things not going the right way, I know that he's been injured and you can't really put a lot of stuff on him as far as being on the floor, but you know, with some of the vibes that are going on within this organization, I think a lot that can be put on him, should be put on him. But, you know, a lot of folks keep wanting to say, well, it's too early. Well, there's really no line between too early and too late. And before you know it, it could be too late. So they got to get this thing going in the right direction as soon as possible.
Now, you know the situation firsthand. Talk to us as outsiders. We can read the stories. Talk about the vibe. Take us inside that locker room. Inside that arena, we know about the player, what we see on the court, we know what we read, but what do you see and what do you hear being close to the team?
Well, I think there's a little bit of two parts. One is that they have this outwardly message to calm down, but I think a lot of this is back on what has happened in the past, and because we've learned from the past and we remember what's happened in the past, we are still a little bit reluctant to trust. And there's been, like, the Adrian Wojnarowski report that came out today that, you know, his friends, LeBron's friends, are back on team charters and all the other stories about that. Well, yeah, probably. I mean, again, when you own the team and he pretty much runs the team, you're going to let your buddies do what they want to, or at least you're going to carry things out the way you want them to carry it out. But I think there's a lot of confusion with how to run this team and where guys should be. I think some of that, and definitely some of that, falls on that head coach. The players seem to be confused in their roles, and they're frustrated that they're losing basketball games too. You know, Kevin Love came to Cleveland to win basketball games for a shot at the championship, and right now he's not doing very well. He's averaging somewhere in 17-10, which certainly aren't bad numbers, obviously. And a lot of centers / forwards would kill for that. But you know, for him, it's not just about filling up the stat sheets. You got to win. And when LeBron was out, he was doing incredible. But they're not winning games. So it sticks back to what happened with him in Minnesota, where he was known as a stat filler and a compiler, but not a guy who won you basketball games. So I think in a lot of ways that it's a lot of frustration that's boiling over. I do think that they've become a little tired of the head coach. I think that because they're losing games, they don't want to trust him because he's not a real NBA guy, at least in their standpoint. And again, a lot of that's going to fall on LeBron. If LeBron were to saddle up and say that he loved David Blatt and that all these guys should respect David Blatt, love David Blatt, they do that. When he doesn't, they're not going to do it. And they're looking for leadership. And right now, they can't find much.
Is David Blatt not an NBA coach in your mind? Is he making noticeable errors?
I think that his sets have left a lot to be desired, and there is a lot of times where these players, they don't know when they're coming into games. You know, usually by this time of the year, at least with first-year coaches, guys start to realize what their roles are. And I don't think guys know what their roles are. Last night, they really bust everything they have to get back from an 18-point deficit, tie the ball game up, then take the lead, and there's still 6 minutes left, and these guys are gassed. And Kevin Love's off the floor, and James Jones goes on the floor in crunch time, and we're just looking at this thing, what are you doing? You know, well, what is this? Is this some long preseason of you? Are you experimenting here? Because you've lost this many games in a row. You're playing a Western Conference team and a pretty decent one, considering, yeah, they're a few games over 500 in the West, but it's the West. So you know that Phoenix is a good team. I don't know why you're experimenting. That's the way it seems. And maybe he feels like that's the end-all, be-all what he has, because Kevin was not doing the job last night. But I think there's a lot of that consternation that goes with that, guys, that he doesn't seem to really grasp what his players can do, what they can't do, when they can play, when they can't play. He just does not seem to know his players, and every single night seems to be a get-to-know-you period. And, hey, here we are, and this looks bad. And I think really in a lot of ways they're prolonging the inevitable. At the end of this season, if they fall short of what their goals are, and if they certainly fall a lot shorter than what we thought their goals were, which right now it seems to be that way, I definitely think he'll get blown out of here. I may or may not agree with it at that time. We'll see how the rest of the season goes. But there's no doubt in my mind that they'll make changes. They'll bring in a name. They'll appease LeBron. They'll appease Kevin Love. They'll appease Kyrie Irving and a couple of other players, and they'll bring in a name, because this will always – if they fall short, if they're a disappointment this year, no one's going to point the fingers at the players. They're always going to point the fingers at the coach. And that just doesn't just happen in Cleveland. That happens in a lot of NBA cities. Mm-hmm. So – it's pretty much his job's on the line each and every night. They go out there and they get boat raced again. We'll start to fire up the cauldrons again about throwing them in that thing. And then by the end of it, when it all comes down to it, if they don't get it done, they'll just get rid of him and they'll bring in somebody else. And when that guy doesn't get it done, they'll bring in somebody else, because you're never going to get rid. You'll do everything you can not to get rid of those basketball players that you have.
Ken Carman joins us from 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Okay, I was reading some stories online, people projecting that LeBron might leave because he's only signed a short-term contract. You think there's any chance he leaves Cleveland again, or is he there for the long term?
I don't. I think a lot of people would have some really ill will feelings towards him. You know, last time it seemed like a business decision, and as time went on, you could certainly get a little bit of what he was doing and a little bit of the reason he had made the decision that he had made. This time around, you know, you've put the franchise in a really bad position. Say if he were to leave, if he were to get hurt tonight, or if he were to get hurt tomorrow, I should say, in L.A., and never be able to play again, this would be one of the worst basketball teams in NBA history by the time it's all, because Kevin wouldn't stay. For as far as Kyrie, you would have nothing around him, and you're not even in a position to build. At some time, the bubble's going to burst. And I think a lot of it is on LeBron, that this is something you're putting together. This is your being the de facto general manager here. Everything's run through you. That if this doesn't work, this is on you. And you certainly can. You can leave them high and dry, but I don't know why you'd leave your own team high and dry. And this is an area that he's from. And to see the way that team would play without him, I'm serious. You might want to put out a high school basketball team after he's done playing, because they will have no moves. Right now they have one move they really have left, and that's Brendan Haywood's contract, because of the exception that's in it. But that really really won't take effect for them until the offseason. So if he were to leave, gosh, you want to talk about – and he was a villain last time he left, so we can go back and forth on that, but you'd be the villain of all villains to have them trade the number one draft pick and a guy who looks like he's going to be a really good basketball player. You bring in Kevin Love, he would leave. He's not going to stay without LeBron. Kyrie Irving, I guess you could make him stay, considering what his contract is, but I don't really know what you're going to do with the drawing card. I mean, you could cripple that organization if you wanted to, and if that's part of some villainous master plan to get Dan Gilbert back, some letter, something like that, man, you are sick if that's the way he's thinking about it. Not you, but him. That's a sick way of looking at things, if that was all your master plan to come in and really work the team over like that, because that's rough. And considering all the all the ads he's done coming back, a lot of that is business. I think he'll stay. I don't think there's really a problem with him leaving.
Is Love going to stay?
You know, he told the Cleveland Plain Dealer yesterday that he was going to opt in. He wasn't even going to opt out of the contract.
Okay.
He'll offer him a contract and he'll take it. But hey, what is it, January 14th? You know,
yeah.
guys say things at one time and they mean something different later on. And remember, we still got 3 more months of this season left and we keep wanting to be patient. All right, well, we'll be patient. And if things go to hell, well, I can't necessarily believe what you say in January when April's coming around and you're still struggling or you're not able to play up or if you get bounced in the first round, who knows what he would do. You know, he said the right things and we certainly want to believe him, but these are NBA players. And just like what a lot of people want to say about a lot of different people in a lot of walks of life, hey, they're not loyal. They're not as loyal as we think they are or as we want them to be. Fans are loyal, and that's what's terrible about professional sports. Fans will always be there, and they'll live and die with their teams. Players, they can do whatever, and especially in the NBA when they're so powerful. These guys can do whatever they want, and he can go to L.A. They will welcome him with open arms, and they'll put a team around him with the Lakers once Kobe's contract comes off the books, and they can maybe work him down and open up the books for some other players. There's plenty of things that he can do, and there will be plenty of things that he's offered. So when he says it yesterday, it makes it feel better. I don't necessarily believe it wholeheartedly for the future, though.
Yeah, you know, what you say raises so many red flags. The NBA is a marquee-driven game, the star. I wonder about the chemistry. I mean, Love's a terrific player. Irving's a terrific player. They are not LeBron James. When you talk about him as de facto GM and owns the team, you're not speaking literally, of course, figuratively. But It can't be LeBron and a bunch of other guys. It works for a little while, but if it goes south, it can go south in a hurry. I see this situation rife for disaster when it comes to that.
Well, this is another problem, is that with the NBA, you saw Boston do it, Miami's done it. I would even throw, and I know San Antonio's built it, but San Antonio's in that mix as well, where you have 3 superstars. I mean, these guys would be all-stars on other teams. And I think Cleveland's trying to do it right now. And if you're a real Red Auerbach fan of basketball, if you're an old-time fan of basketball here, there's a lot of stuff where you're hoping that this thing falls apart, because this seems to be the new way of the NBA, where you get a guy, you maybe draft him, and then you do what you can to put some people around him and kind of create something there for your one run and one opportunity, unless you're in New York or L.A. or Miami or Chicago maybe. And maybe one or two more cities. That's it. And for this Cavaliers team, there's just so much there that if this thing were to fall apart, again, you're not just going to be an under 500 team. You would be an out-and-out disaster, like Mavericks early 90s disaster you would be. I mean, it would be that terrible the entire way through. And I think a lot of teams, I mean, you look at Toronto, they're playing a fantastic brand. Atlanta, and I know that, you know, DeMar DeRozan's banged up. We'll see what happens when he's able to come back. You know, Atlanta has been fabulous working in the team basketball. Golden State, they make it right now. I don't know how long you can stay that soft in the perimeter and still actually move forward in the Western Conference. I wonder about them long-term as far as them actually in the postseason, but they've done a phenomenal job, and they've all built it. You know, the Clippers, we think they're built. Well, you have Blake Griffin. Well, you did trade for Chris Paul. And he's one of the best point guards and best all-around basketball players in the NBA. So we're not going to talk about the build stuff there. I think this really is a crossroads for the NBA. The works in Cleveland, now you have, I would say, the third or fourth example of something like a big three working. And if that's going to be the case, it is a monkey-see-monkey-do league, just like a lot of teams are. And, you know, they'll try, just like what Oklahoma City has tried to do with Kevin Durant. And you've already seen the makings of it in Washington, where they've hired not just Kevin Durant, they've hired Kevin Durant's old high school basketball coach to be a bench coach with the Washington Wizards. And you've already had Marcin Gortat lined up for a long time, because you might have to be forced to trade one of your backcourt pieces to go after Kevin Durant by the time it's all said and done, in a sign and trade where you can lock him up long term if he really wants to come back home. So they lock up Marcin Gortat long-term now. And their best case scenario, and I know I'm being long-winded about it, they're going to try to keep Beal and John Wall and then obviously bring in Kevin Durant. That's probably impossible as far as a trade's concerned, but you're the one with the power because Oklahoma City's going to want something for the guy if he actually were to decide to leave. You know, that's a scary thing, and that's a point of contention for a lot of teams, you know, within basketball and within the NBA. This is a very scary scenario. If you're a long-time, old-time fan of basketball, I don't think you can really help but root against the Cats right now.
Appreciate the time as always, my man. Something tells me the Cavs will turn things around and make the playoffs. But obviously, if they don't win a round or two in the playoffs, this season will likely be considered a disappointment. Ken, always good to talk to you.
Hey, thank you very much, boys. Take care.